This episode of Clearview Today is brought to you by Le Bleu Ultra Pure Water. David, how many bottles of water do you think you drink a day?
Well, actually, I only drink Flamin' Hot Mountain Dew, Strawberry Yoo-Hoo, and the occasional Pepto-Bismol.
Flamin' Hot Mountain Dew? Do they even make that anymore?
Fun fact, no. I have to make my own with McDonald's Sprite, and you guessed it, Texas Pete.
I am genuinely horrified to hear that.
Me too.
You know, unlike other bottled waters, Le Bleu water only has two ingredients, hydrogen and oxygen. Nothing more, nothing less. Le Bleu's award-winning ultra-pure water is the result of their patent-pending five steps beyond Mother Nature process, which eliminates the inorganic materials and creates uniquely pure water, free of contaminants and perfectly balanced and fresh tasting.
And Le Bleu produces only the highest quality, ultra-pure bottled water on the market. You can get them in 1 liter, 1.5 liters, 12 ounces, 20 ounces, or even in the 3 to 5 gallon water coolers. And best of all, Le Bleu Central conveniently delivers this pure refreshment right to your home or office.
That's right. Le Bleu delivers our water coolers right here to Clearview Church every single month like clockwork. And it's not just water. Le Bleu supplies the finest gourmet coffees, teas, and hot chocolates to accommodate every preference in your office. I'm talking Green Mountain, Starbucks, Krispy Kreme, Donut Shop. So whether you're looking for the perfect brew for yourself or for your workplace, Le Bleu has got you covered.
You can visit their website today at MyLeBleu, that's MyLeBleu.com, and use promo code TODAY, that's TODAY, for a 10% discount at checkout. Every single purchase you make using that promo code helps us here at the Clearview Today Show and gets you one step closer to the purest, most refreshing water you've ever tasted.
Thank you to Le Bleu for sponsoring this episode. Now let's start the show.
Where's my Mountain Dew?
You're listening to Clearview Today with Dr. Abadan Shah, the daily show that engages mind and heart for the gospel of Jesus Christ. I'm Ryan Hill.
I'm John Galantis.
You can visit us online at clearviewtodayshow.com, or if you have any questions for Dr. Shah or suggestions for new topics, send us a text to 252-582-5028. Or you can email us at contact@clearviewtodayshow.com.
That's right. And we want to help you guys help us keep the conversation going. You can do that by supporting the show. Share it online with your friends and family. Leave us a good 5-star review on iTunes or Spotify, anywhere you get your podcasting content from. We're going to leave a couple of links right there in the description so you can do just that.
We're going to help you help us so that we can help you help others.
Yeah, there you go. I like that. It's kind
of
long. Help you help us to help you help others.
Boom.
I don't like it.
Okay, no.
I don't like it. Wait.
Scrap that. Wow.
I never get to use that one.
My self-esteem is in the floor. So our verse of the day today comes from Daniel chapter 6, verse 28. So this Daniel prospered in the reign of Darius and in the reign of Cyrus the Persian.
You know, out of context, that verse really doesn't have a whole lot to add, but there's so much story behind that.
Yeah.
You know, Daniel reigning after all this stuff that he's been through.
Yeah, Daniel is an incredible character in the Bible.
Yeah.
If you've never read his story, there's a lot that happens in the book of Daniel. This particular verse takes place after the lion's den.
Mm-hmm.
So King Darius is in charge. Daniel's been convicted of praying to the one true God and thrown in the lion's den. We know the story. God keeps him safe. And then the people who accused him are thrown to the lions. But this is evidence of God keeping Daniel not only safe, but helping him to prosper and be successful in a foreign land.
That's right.
I mean, this is not a land where he's surrounded by people who believe like he does, who operate like he does. He's a foreigner in this land, mm-hmm. taken into exile. And yet God is blessing him in both Darius's reign, in Cyrus's reign, in his precursors, Belshazzar and Nebuchadnezzar.
Mm-hmm.
Daniel was in place. Daniel was prospering through the reign of four different kings.
That's right.
And God had his hand on Daniel's life.
I particularly like the book of Daniel because it lends so much historical credibility to the Bible. Not to say that the others don't, but in Daniel, it's very hard to dispute because the Babylonian Empire was such a world superpower and there's so much recorded about it and all of these different kings that also appear in the Bible. And also you got to think about like the prophecies. Like there's a prophecy in there about Alexander the Great and
mm-hmm.
these four empires that are going to rule, and every single one of them came to pass.
Yep.
So Daniel is a book I think people tend to flock to for the children's stories, but then they kind of veer away from for all these prophecies because they're complicated.
If you've never read the book of Daniel, it's much more than just the lion's den.
Oh yeah, very much.
But that's an important part, but it's much more. So go read it.
One of my favorite books in the Old Testament. And we want to be able to bring you guys the Word of God. And part of the way you do that is by downloading the Date the Word app. They're a partial sponsor of today's episode. Make sure you download it right now for free on iPhone or Android. Every single day connects today's date with God's Word with the hope of making it more memorable for you. we got some advice that no one needed. We haven't done this segment in a little bit. It's called Advice No One Needed. I do not have a sound effect for it, so let me just see.
Advice that
let
no one
see.
Needed?
Let me,
no one wanted?
Let's see.
No one what, asked for and probably no one will benefit
here
from.
Here we go. Here's one for advice no one needed. Ready? Ready?
My leg!
I don't have one. We're still working on our sound effects. How about this?
There you go. Yeah.
Yeah, that's some advice no one needed.
Yeah.
So here's some advice that has been helpful to me, right, as a man. And I'm bringing you this as a man. This is a man's advice for the manliest of men, okay? Think about the manliest thing you can and then take this advice to heart.
Okay.
Get a pedicure. Get a pedicure.
That was
seriously.
Not the direction I expected this to go.
I'm telling you, as a guy, we don't do anything like that, right? We don't go get our manicures. We barely like getting our hair cut.
Yeah.
We don't want to do anything where anyone is touching us or anything like that. So when I tell you, and I'm like that, I'm a touch me not, you know, if people come and put the hand, hey, I'm so proud of you, boy. And they're like rubbing my back. I'm like, brother, you know, I don't love it. So when I tell you that sitting down and putting your feet in a tub of warm water and having people like file your toenails and like massage your feet and clean them feels incredible, and it actually improved my whole day. When I tell you that, you know I'm not lying to you, right? You don't like it? You never had a pedicure?
I've never had one.
Go get one.
Just the thought of it, like my feet are so ticklish. Like just the thought of someone touching my feet makes me like.
But they're not like.
I know.
They're firm.
I know that.
They got real. Those women. I'm telling you, man. They got firm hands. They got firm hands. They could probably crush my hand with a handshake.
Ugh.
Nicholas gets them.
I don't know.
You get
them. I'm not opposed to it.
You don't like them, though. You don't get them? You gonna lie? Why are you lying on camera? No one can even see you. No one can see you shake your head, and I know you're lying.
I'm not opposed to it. I just, the thought of it just kind of makes my skin crawl a
little bit. Here's the thing. All the men listen, because I'm speaking to the men. Women are like, oh, yes, girl, slay queen. I'll get a pedicure today. Ellie actually texted me yesterday, and it was sort of like, hey, are you okay if I go get a pedicure? But it was really more of an announcement. Like, this is what I'm doing.
Yes.
Money's going to be spent on this.
Just FYI.
Don't talk to me about it.
Here's what the charge is going to be.
But I was like, all right, whatever. Because I know, like, after a hard day, like, that just feels great. I'm telling you, it feels good. It improves your whole mood.
Okay.
Well. And it's just a time where you can just sit and just kind of be pampered. Just be taken care of.
Yeah.
You know?
Now, I would like a massage.
Yeah.
Like, that's... You talk about like touch me not like kind of, but a massage feels good.
Especially if you go to someone like who really knows what they're doing.
Yeah.
Like I had the first massage I ever had. We did on the cruise in our honeymoon.
Mm-hmm.
And man, I walked out
that
of there.
That was my first massage was on mine and Elizabeth's honeymoon.
I walked out of there feeling like I was floating on air.
Yeah.
I was
man. Yeah. I felt like I could just melt. Like,
oh yeah.
Ugh.
That was incredible. But we got a pedicure. I can't remember. Elliot took me to go get a pedicure. And I was the same way as all the men listening to this. I was the same way as you. Oh, that's for girls. That's womanly. I'm not doing that. But I'm going to tell you, man, that woman started massaging the bottom of my feet. I said, you know what? I could get used to this. I had a root beer. I had a bag of chips. Gavin was like barely a year old.
You were getting a pedicure.
I was just getting
a
pedicure.
Good day.
That was a good day. Well, I'm telling you, that's my advice. And don't knock it until you do it. If you want to write in and be like, oh, you're a girl. That's feminine. Do it. Then write that in. Guarantee you won't.
Well,
guarantee you will not. You will change your attitude after you get it.
I guess I'm going to go get a pedicure now.
Do it for real. And come back next week and we'll talk about it.
We'll figure it out.
Yeah.
Write in and let us know your experiences. Really? I mean, ladies, we know that you like pedicures, but guys, if you've been brave enough to go get a pedicure, write in and let us know
about
that experience.
Guess who else gets them? Dr. Questions gets them.
He does.
Dr. Questions gets
them.
I don't know about Dr. Shaw, but Dr. Questions 100% gets
pedicures.
That's
true. Write in and let us know 252-582-5028, or you can visit us online at clearviewtodayshow.com. We'll be back after this.
Hey, Ryan.
Hey, John.
Hey, man. I'm having an awesome time doing the Clearview Today show with you.
Thanks, man. And I hope people are having an awesome time listening to it.
Well, listen, I think our listeners would actually be interested to know that Clearview Today is not the only podcast we produce.
Do go on.
Oh, well, go ahead and stop what you're doing right now. Mosey on over to your podcast app and subscribe to Sermons by Abaddon Shaw, PhD.
As many of you know, Dr. Shaw is our lead pastor here at Clearview Church. And every single week, he preaches expository messages that challenge and inspire us to live godly lives. One of our core values at Clearview Church is that we're a Bible-believing church, which means that every single sermon is coming directly from the text.
And it's great because whether you're driving, cleaning the house, working out, whatever you're doing, you're listening and receiving timeless biblical truths.
And God works through every sermon differently, which means you're always going to get something new. Sometimes it'll be conviction, sometimes it'll be encouragement.
That's right, and you guys can check out sermons by Abadan Shah, PhD, on the Apple Podcast app. You can find it on our website as well. That's clearviewbc.org. You can even read the transcripts of every message on Dr. Shah's website. That's abadanshah.com.
Love it. John, you ready to hop back in?
Let's do it.
Welcome back to Clearview Today with Dr. Abadan Shah, the daily show that engages mind and heart for the gospel of Jesus Christ. You can visit us online at clearviewtodayshow.com. If you have any questions or suggestions for new topics, send us a text to 252-582-5028.
That's right. We're back. We're back after the break.
At it again.
We're back at it again with Dr. Abadan Shah, who's a PhD in New Testament textual criticism, professor at Carolina University, author, full-time pastor, and the host of today's show. Dr. Shah, we had some great, some fantastic advice that nobody needed.
Okay.
Nobody asked for this advice
at all. I'm ready.
But I know you. You're a man after my own heart. I didn't start doing this until this past year.
Okay.
I've only done it once. I will say I've only done it once. But I think it's great. I think it's great advice. Get a pedicure.
Oh, okay.
Get a pedicure. Get your feet taken care of. Yeah.
I'm for that.
Here's the thing. A lot of red-blooded men listening to the show, they think it's somehow less than or weak. Yeah, I'm not having somebody rub on my feet. Dude, I'm telling you. You know what's
Have you gotten one?
Oh yeah. I got only one, but I loved it.
Only 1 foot?
Only 1 foot.
Just
yeah.
1 foot.
Yeah, they went to go touch the left foot. I was like, no,
just the one.
I ain't got the kind of money to be throwing away on both feet.
Just the one. No, you got it done only once.
I got it done only once. But I liked it. I liked it a lot. It was fun because we went and we got it done, and Gavin was only a baby when we got it done, so I could just put him in the...
Oh, that long ago.
It was a while back.
You see, you're overdue.
I'm overdue. I'm way overdue.
My feet
are a little bit rough.
Okay.
But you like getting them as well.
I get them done every 3 months or 2-3 months mm-hmm. there. Mm-hmm. They tell me that, the ladies are like, you need to come back soon, okay? I was like, I will.
Okay. Yeah. I'll see you soon.
Just time, you know, you have to make sure I get there and do that. I try to get my boys to do it.
They don't like doing it.
No, they make faces. Mm-hmm. They pretend like it's hurting them or it's tickling. I'm like, what is wrong with you guys?
See, I can understand being like, I'm too cool for this. I don't want my friends to see me, but it hurts.
And I'm like sitting over there on the other side from them on the chairs. And I'm like, stop. You're fine. Am I right, Nicholas?
Why does it hurt, Nick? It tickles. Ow, it hurts.
I have nothing against the pedicure. I think it's a great thing. My feet are hyper ticklish, so I feel like I would be like squirming in the chair.
They're not like.
No, I know that
they massage your feet.
I understand
that. They're rough with them.
I understand that. I get it conceptually.
I don't think you do because you're still not. You haven't got a. Have you made an appointment
since
the break?
I have not.
You didn't make the appointment since the break.
Not.
Have you ever done one?
I have never done it.
Oh. Why don't we do an episode from the pedicure place? Like while getting there's
while
nothing.
Getting one.
What? There's nothing stopping us.
I fear that I'll just be giggling. You'll be trying to have a conversation. I'll just
they don't tickle you, man. They don't tickle.
It's just like the thought of people touching my feet just already tickles me.
All right,
that's fine.
I don't know. I'm willing to try it. I'm not opposed to it. It's just like I fear that it will tickle.
Yeah,
I'm worried about it.
Yeah, I don't know what to
Self-care
say.
Self care is not a bad thing.
Yeah, that's right, man. That's right.
That's true.
Yeah. What do you call that thing? Manscaping. Manscaping.
Yeah.
Manscaping.
Yeah. This episode is brought to you by Manscaped. It's not. We could never read their ad reads on Christian radio.
Yeah, absolutely not.
No, really. They're a little bit on the weird side.
Yeah.
All right.
I don't really have a segue out of that, so we're just going to hard shift into
the Lord's Supper.
Right. We're going to hard shift into talking about communion
because they were not caring for one another.
That's right. Yeah. There you go. See? Hold on 1 second. I just got to give this man the respect he's
Thank
due.
You. I will turn over the mantle of segue to you,
no,
Dr. Shah.
I don't
Shah.
Know.
You
I don't know.
The mantle.
I don't know how you guys do it every day.
I don't.
You are the one, though.
Yeah, they were not very caring towards one another. And as we talked about it yesterday, when you come to the Lord's table, Lord's Supper, communion, look around in fellowship.
That's right. Mm.
Right? Look around to see who else is there at the family meal. And I suggested... Mm-hmm. is figure out or pick out somebody that God lays on your heart, man or woman, boy or girl, young or old. Mm-hmm. Just pick out someone or a couple or a family and say, I'm going to pray for them.
That's so good.
That's right.
And pray for God's blessing upon them. You may know them, you may not. But I promise you, you will have more compassion on them. Mm-hmm. You may have a feeling of love towards them.
Amen.
And that's what God wants us to do.
100%. I'm going to adopt that. That's going to be my new communion practice. While we're doing the Lord's Supper here at Clearview, I'm going to look around. And
you know, all you do during the communion is just sit there and you twiddle the bread in your thumbs and you try to look like you're thinking on something deep and you're looking at your shoes.
Yeah.
You know, that's what.
Or somebody says something funny and like.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, even if you're praying, even if you're kind of examining yourself, it gives you a chance, like you said, to look around and see your church family.
Yeah,
right. I mean, that's good. I'm gonna start.
That's right. That's right.
But then there's another look, which is look behind in remembrance.
Mm.
Again, going back to 1 Corinthians 11, but this time to verse 23, where Paul says, "For I received from the Lord that which I also delivered to you, that the Lord Jesus, on the same night in which he was betrayed, took bread."
Mm-hmm.
So what Paul first does is that he addresses the situation in the church in Corinth.
Right.
And tells them, be mindful of one another. Look around and see. You're judging each other based on their social status, and you're mistreating one another. So one is hungry, another one is drunk.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, there is a huge disparity between members in this church body.
Right.
And that should not be the case. So look around in fellowship. But then he takes them back.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Verse 23 is taking them back to that night.
Yeah. Yeah.
And which night are we talking about? We're talking about the night when Jesus celebrated the Passover with his disciples.
I think it's really important to touch on that because one of the things that Clearview does, and I've noticed this over the last 10, 11 years that I've been here, is Clearview does a very good job of laying out both the how and the why. And Paul is doing this here. He's saying, look, here's the method. You don't do that. Don't do it this way. Do it this way.
Yeah.
And here's the why. Here's why you should do that.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
This night on Thursday, people often ask the question, was this Passover? Because Passover is supposed to be Friday.
Mm-hmm.
So what's happening here? Was Jesus misunderstanding the timing of the Passover and he celebrated a day early, or because he knew the next day he would be the Passover lamb and he was doing that? Or there's also a suggestion made. I think it was Gleason Archer.
Mm-hmm.
By the way, Gleason Archer was his father founded Suffolk Law School.
Really?
Where Abby is.
I didn't know that.
Wow.
Yeah.
Huh.
Yeah. Gleason Archer was an amazing, brilliant guy. I think he was a Harvard or Princeton graduate. Mm-hmm. And then, of course, he went to law as well. He's a brilliant defender of the faith. But his father started the school, I think, law school. And then Gleason Archer went there too. Junior went there as well. And that's where our daughter Abigail is.
She's right
in
there.
Boston. Yeah. Yeah. And how I found out, I knew that. But I've forgotten about it. And as we were walking through the law school library, law school building, I went to this hall of remembrance or whatever. And I was like, Gleason Archer? I'm like, yes. He was in law school in Boston. Oh, this is the law school.
Mm-hmm.
So I called Abby over. I was like, come check it out.
That's pretty awesome.
This place became very special very quickly.
Wow. That's awesome.
This is the place.
Mm-hmm.
So anyways, but Gleason Archer suggested that the people in Galilee celebrated the Lord's Supper, I think, on Thursday, and the people in Jerusalem or Judea side celebrated on Friday.
Mm-hmm.
This is because there were so many lambs that were slaughtered, so it was better to have this division.
Oh, that makes sense.
We don't know for sure if that was the answer, but I believe it's something like this. Jesus chose to make Thursday evening the Passover meal.
Wait,
because he knew the next day he would be
Gleason
the
Archer
Passover
suggested
lamb.
That people in Jesus' time or the early church?
No, Jesus' time.
Okay.
Well, the church is not here yet, right?
Right. But if I guess I'm thinking like if he was crucified on Friday, if that's concrete or if it's at least treated as concrete.
It is concrete. Yeah. He was crucified on Friday.
Well, then Passover would have to have been on Thursday, right? Wouldn't it? Because it was the day before that he had the meal.
But Passover was always on Friday.
Historically,
Passover is supposed to be on a Friday.
Okay. So you're saying Jesus chose to do it on Thursday.
Right.
Got you.
What
okay.
Gleason Archer suggests is that, because this is a big discussion, by the way.
Okay. Mm-hmm. I didn't know that.
Was the Lord's Supper or Passover? That's a big discussion.
It's two different things. It's supposedly two different things.
Right. The Lord's Supper, just having a meal with his disciples versus Lord also celebrating the Passover with his disciples. Those are two different things.
I didn't realize those were two different things.
Right.
Okay.
I believe that there is no division between the Galileans and the Judeans Passover. I don't find that very compelling.
Okay.
Evidence, you know, not being there.
Yeah.
I believe Jesus decided to celebrate the Passover with his disciples at the last meal, which was on Thursday evening. And that night he went to the Garden of Gethsemane. He was arrested, taken before Herod, Pilate, all that drama, mm-hmm. back and forth. And then the next day, that morning, he's taken and crucified by noon.
Do you, in your estimation, do you consider his merging of those two, the Lord's Supper and the Passover, to be I don't want to say a convenience thing. Is that a symbolic that he did that he merged them? Is that like a new covenant
he
style thing?
He wanted to celebrate the Passover with them.
Okay.
You remember he says that.
Right.
Go to this place, follow this man with a pitcher, and then where he goes, say the master wants to use this. So let's talk about the Passover a little bit. And by the way, for our listeners, viewers, one reason we do this kind of discussion is because tomorrow if somebody hits you up with a question like this,
yeah.
you're not like, oh, I didn't know there was an issue.
Yeah, I didn't even know this was a thing.
Yeah. So now you're aware of it, whether you believe this was the Passover or not, or you take Gleason Archer's approach or whatever, mm-hmm. at least you have options.
That's you're right. at least aware of the discussion.
Right. You're aware of what's going on.
And a lot of times being aware, at least for me, being aware that there's a discussion to be had is enough.
Yeah. Right, right.
Because at least you can say, well, I know some people say that, but where right. I fall is this way. Rather than be like, oh, I didn't know
there was even an issue.
Yeah, I don't know.
So Jesus, what Paul does is he takes them back to that fateful night, mm-hmm. F-A-T-E-F-U-L, fateful night. And so we need to understand, what was the Passover meal all about? Mm-hmm. Okay? So according to the Passover Haggadah, Haggadah is a Jewish text from the 2nd century AD mm-hmm. that lays out the instructions and the blessings of the Seder. Seder is the meal, okay? And in this Haggadah, it gives you all the discussion. Now, Haggadah means telling.
Okay.
That's what the word means in Hebrew, telling.
So the Haggadah is like a text?
It's a text.
Okay.
It's a text from the 2nd century AD that gives us all the instructions and the blessings. So once you read that, you sort of begin to piece things together as to what was happening when Jesus celebrated the Last Supper or the Passover mm-hmm. with his disciples. And I believe it was a Passover.
Okay.
There are a lot of things Jesus does that are very indicative of the Passover meal, mm-hmm. the cup, mm-hmm. or this new cup. This is all part of the Passover
right.
Language.
Right.
So what this Haggadah says is very important to understand. It says that in every generation, a man must so regard himself as if he came forth himself out of Egypt. What the Lord did for me when I came forth out of Egypt.
So you're supposed to imagine yourself there that night.
It's not just like my great ancestors were sitting in Goshen in their little huts and homes waiting for the death angel mm-hmm. to pass by. Or, you know, they were all in this room waiting for the death angel to go by. Mm-hmm. And, you know, I wonder what it was like. No, you are to, when you celebrate the Passover, you are to picture yourself standing in one of those rooms, mm-hmm. in those homes. And can you picture what it must have been like?
Yeah, right. It gives a gravity to it. I mean, even here talking about the Lord's Supper, it gives a weight to it, not just like this is something that we do and it's just an event on our church calendar. No, there's a remembrance that right. happens. There's weight, there's history behind what we're doing.
100%.
Yeah. You have to picture yourself in the upper room. Mm. So have you ever seen those pictures with, was it Michelangelo's?
Mm-hmm. Oh, who's Leonardo
da Vinci's 12 disciples.
Yeah.
Imagine yourself sitting there
yeah.
around that table.
I feel like, and maybe this is, I don't know if this makes me better than anybody in this room, but especially you and me, we don't have to imagine being in the upper room because we've actually been there.
Yes, we have.
I hate to single you out in that way.
No,
I
mean, Mount Zion.
It took me a second to figure out where you were going with this. I was like,
yeah.
I mean, I know we have to imagine ourselves. What do you mean? But yeah, we have been on Mount Zion.
Yeah, there's only one person in this room who doesn't know what it's like to stand where Jesus stood and eat where his disciples stood. I mean, man, I just wouldn't want to be that person.
Yeah. Have you been to the land of your ancestors?
What's up?
Because I have.
What's up? No.
Oh, okay.
Not personally. All right.
Because I have been to Greece.
But I've been there in spirit.
But I have been there in body. So just
and he also went to Delphi, right?
Yes, I have.
That's where every Greek was supposed to go in his lifetime. So even if your ancestors did not come from Corinth or Thessaloniki or Philippi or even Athens or Corinth, Delphi.
Yes,
you got
to
go.
So they had to be there.
But I have been.
Got Ryan, to go. That's Ryan's crazy. But you're not Greek.
I know. It's crazy.
I feel like, no, I got to go to
crazy.
Delphi.
Well, you know.
What was it like standing in the upper room? Like, what was the feeling? Like, because I remember it was like, well, you go first.
Well, one thing I do need to clarify that it is the same ground. Mm-hmm. The structure, the ceiling or the wall, the pillars came later.
Sure.
Not that Jesus did it in the open air. What I'm saying is there was a room there.
Right.
But in time, it was all remade and destroyed or redone. But it is the same area because it's Mount Zion.
Yeah. Like if it were like, maybe this is not a great analogy, but if like right now we're in this room, this is our radio room. If right. this room was demolished and they built another room, maybe over there where the hub is, is that sort of similar? Like it may not have been this room that we're in now.
But it's very close. Mm-hmm. I mean, it may be where the steps were leading to the room.
Yeah.
And it's right there because Mount Zion, that's Zion.
Yeah.
Right? That's that hill.
Mm-hmm.
Very close to the temple and all of that.
So so at some point we walked through where Jesus and the disciples were eating that last supper.
Right. Yes.
Yeah.
A lot of places you and I were walking to. Of course, the walls of Jerusalem were not there. Mm-hmm. The walls were built, 400 or 500 years ago?
Mm-hmm.
But the area was more than likely where Jesus walked.
Mm, yeah.
And there is a place where you can actually go and see the original street of Jerusalem. We walked down there, right? And you can walk on it.
Mm-hmm.
Then there's another place where you can't and you can just look down and see.
Mm-hmm.
But there's a place you can actually walk on that. And it's amazing to think that Jesus came through here.
100%.
More than likely he came through here.
That's amazing.
The gravity of that room, I remember, really got me because we filmed in there and it was one of the, that was a really great one because there was no lights. You know,
everybody held up their camera.
Everybody held
up
their phones. Oh, yeah. Wow. Their flashlights. Cause it was like late in the day.
Yeah.
The sun was like going down. We were like fighting for daylight and, we had Dr. Shaw stand up against the wall and it was just so dark. So everybody came together and just had their flashlights
on.
Wow,
that's cool.
Yeah. I'll see if I can find that video. That was one of my favorites.
Yeah.
That's
it
amazing.
It was a great, great moment.
Mm-hmm.
So, going back to the Lord's Supper, look back in remembrance. Picture yourself in the upper room, sitting across from Jesus, around him. And I know Leonardo da Vinci's idea of sitting on a table may not have been how they did it. They probably reclined.
Mm-hmm.
But imagine yourself reclining somewhere.
That's right.
That fateful night.
Yeah.
And then it says in 1 Corinthians 11:24, and when he had given thanks, he broke it and said, "Take, eat. This is my body, which is broken for you. Do this in remembrance of me." This is very personal.
Mm-hmm.
So imagine Jesus saying that to you, to me. This is my body broken for you.
That's right.
And you have to think of him handing you that piece of bread and knowing that, okay, your body was broken for me.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, I got it. I know sometimes people say it was torn. It was not torn. His body was not torn.
That's right.
Yeah. His body was broken. It's a picture of bread.
Mm-hmm.
And in the same manner, he also took the cup after supper. See, the cup after supper in the Haggadah, it gives us instructions of how there were different cups.
Mm-hmm.
So this is a cup that comes after supper.
Which lends itself to the idea that this was indeed the Passover.
A Passover meal.
Gotcha.
Yeah. So he also took the cup after supper. It's not like he took the cup after supper was over. No, this is a cup that comes after the meal is done. This is now a different cup.
Yeah. Yeah. This is the cup after supper.
Right.
Not the cup that we use after supper is over.
Gotcha. And also, by the way, that bread, take, eat, this is my body which is broken for you. There's the bread that's in the middle. It's got three pieces of bread.
Mm-hmm.
And some of these traditions came later, they say. I don't think so. I think these traditions were always there.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, they were always there. But I don't know who is trying to say that these traditions came later. There were three pieces of bread.
Mm-hmm.
And they don't take the first piece or the third piece. They take the middle piece,
mm-hmm.
which represented, in my opinion, represented the Son of God, Jesus. Wow. Second person
second
of the Godhead.
Second person, yeah.
And then two implications here very quickly. It's to remember in gratitude for what he did for you and remember how much you need his forgiveness and grace in your life.
That's right.
And so when you put yourself back into that room 2,000 years ago, just think about what he went through for you so that you can have freedom, you can have forgiveness, you can have eternal life, new heavens, new earth, that's coming for you, somebody had to pay the price to satisfy the holiness of God.
Mm-hmm.
You should see yourself unworthy and never able to thank him enough for his grace and mercy.
Dinesh, I don't know if you struggle with this, but like, and I think there's a lot of people out there who struggle with this, who are like in ministry leadership where you feel like you have to just fill the time. Like, mm-hmm. I've got to be saying something. I don't want these awkward lulls. But then you come to communion where it's really designed to be a lull for you to mm-hmm. for you to sit there. Because I was thinking about it, like, we've done three episodes on it. And it's like, man, that's a lot to sit there and think about. And it's like, that's why we have that time.
Yeah. Right.
That's why we stretch it out. And that's why we have soft music playing and no one's talking, no one's moving around. Because I think there's such a, especially in churches today, there's such a push to fill the time and cram and cram and cram. So having these times of just openness and quiet is really helpful.
That's right.
Yeah. Instead of rushing to the next thing, we can remember what Christ has done for us.
That's right.
So good. If you guys enjoyed today's episode, if it was helpful for you in understanding communion on a deeper level, write in and let us know. 252-582-5028. Or you can visit us online at clearviewtodayshow.com. Don't forget, you can partner with us financially on that same website. Every gift that you give goes not only to building up this radio show, but countless other ministries for the gospel of Jesus. We're going to continue this conversation tomorrow, talking more about communion, so make sure you guys tune in. We love you guys. We'll see you tomorrow on Clearview Today.